Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Good House 1968. This is Brother White speaking. What I do is read and interpret from the Tanakh, it's the Hebrew Bible, or the commonly known English version, the Complete Jewish Bible. Give me a second here to get my sermon out, and I'll go over the sermon, and then I'll begin to read and interpret from the Tanakh. Anger can be a destructive force in our lives. Anger can cause us to cause destructive actions. How many of us have gotten angry and we've placed ourselves out of the Lord's realms or His protection? We get so angry and frustrated at people today, a lot of us, that we don't rely on the spiritual food we've taken in to calm us down or give us new hope or to give us different feelings than the ones we're normally used to. It says that Job verse chapter 20, verse 4 through 6, says as my complaint merely to other people, as former is my complaint merely to other people, but I have grounds for being short-tempered. Look at me and be as appalled. So people who look at people who get angry today in public, really angry and outburst, they look at you and they appall you because of the way you're acting, the way you're presenting yourself. We as Christians want to present ourselves as calm, lovable, and lamb-like people. It goes to say, so you should take care to cover your mouth, not to be disrespectful. So we don't want to be disrespectful in our lives. We want people to respect us because we respect them. So we don't want to appear to the public as a nuisance or disorderly, because this brings about a reproach against good. It shows people that good must not be in you because you're not presenting yourself as a good person. I think about the things said in anger. I am in shock. My mind trembles, the brother says. So the things he says in anger, even we ourselves, when we think about the things we say in anger, we become shocked because we're like, well, I just said this to my mother. I just said this to my boss. I just said this to my best friend who's been my best friend for over 20 years. So things in anger can cause us to say things we really don't mean. And we don't want to be a person who's always asking for forgiveness because you said something out of pocket. Just the other day, I was with a gentleman, and his wife left him. I had to drive him to the YMCA so he could take his wife the car because she was divorcing him, or he was divorcing her, in order to get grounds to see his son. And the reason they broke up was because of the fits and spats that went on, him always arguing with her. And that's what he told me. And I can understand how a person feels if you've been together for 10 or 20 years and the only thing the person has to say about you is something disrespectful, something you get tired of because people approach you with the disrespectful things said. It says that Job chapter 20, verse 12, says, wickedness may taste sweet in his mouth. So speaking wicked things at first may taste sweet, but wickedness is not the way we want to be. We don't want to speak wicked things, vile things, disruptive things. We want to speak the truth and speak and let good speak on our behalf. Our mouths should be guided to where good speaks only on our behalf. So when we speak negative thoughts, we should be careful of the hellfire that awaits us. So when we speak of hellfire, we speak of everlasting death because you're in hell, you're not conscious of anything, but yet it's a place of fiery torment where demons are. And the thing is, you're not conscious, but you can be touched by the Creator, which he does, for the sins that you have committed. Now, remember, first of all, sins are forgiven when we die. But the things you have done while you go to hell or heaven, you are left in hell if you have led a wicked life. You go to heaven if you lead a good life. The scriptures say so. But they say hell is a place of torment. So how do you touch the person in hell if he's not conscious of anything? Remember, you have a subconscious. You have a subconscious. And in your subconscious, you can be touched by the Creator. Psalms 119, verse 125 says, tell the Creator to give me understanding. So we want to ask good for understanding so that we do not go about with vile or profane mouths. We want to speak beautiful things, lovely things. We want to speak things that bring joy and happiness to others. We want to make them feel happy, glad, and not sad. It says in Psalms 119:1, verse 1, it says, happy are those whose way of life is blameless. So we don't want to appear to others as to be the blame for a disrespectful rumor spread about. We don't want to be the blame of others, of things we say that come back on us. So great are the life of the blameless, the scripture says. Hosea chapter 9, verse 7 says, the days of punishment have come, the days of retribution are here. So we should make wise decisions on what we are leading up to good judgment. So we want to make wise decisions that lead to good judgment. So we want to speak with a kind voice, a tone voice, not a loud voice, not an upset voice, but we want to speak with joy, good, and happiness, and love. Don't forget love, because this is without love, you can't reach the heavens. You can't have good in your life. We want to not only do our mind, not only do we want our mind to speak lovely thoughts, but we want our heart to have love in it as well. All right, that's it for that sermon. Now I'm going to begin to read and interpret from the Tanakh. And it goes to say at Deuteronomy Deuteronomy chapter 28. If you listen closely to what good your God says, observing and obeying all his mitzvah, which I am giving you today, good your God will raise you high above all the nations on the earth, and all the following blessings will be yours in abundance, if you will do what good your God says. So here we have a promise made from good of things that people normally send to get, material things. These things will be provided in abundance, as the scripture says, if you obey all good's mitzvahs, his rules and regulations. These things will come in abundance. And it goes to say, a blessing on you in the city, and a blessing on you in the countryside, a blessing on the fruit of your body, the fruit of your land, and the fruit of your livestock, the young of your cattle and flocks, a blessing on your grain basket and netting bowl, a blessing on you when you could go out, and a blessing on you when you come in. Good will cause your enemies attacking you to be defeated before you. They will advance on you one way and flee before you seven ways. So hear this out. Your enemies will be defeated by you, and they will flee in seven different ways. So imagine your enemies going down seven different road paths is what good is saying here, because he protects those who obey his laws, rules, regulations, and mitzvahs. It says, a blessing on your grain basket and netting bowl. A blessing on you. Okay, I've covered that. Good will cause your enemies attacking you. No, I've covered that. Good will order a blessing to be with you and your bonds and in everything you undertake. He will bless you in the land good your God is giving you. Good will establish you as a people separated out for yourself, as he has sworn to you. If you will observe the mitzvah of good your God and follow his ways, then all the peoples on earth will see that good's name, his presence, is with you, so that they will be afraid of you. So imagine your enemies fearing you. Good will give you great abundance of good things. Hear that out. Good things, not bad things, not bad material things, like a toy that would break off in a child's mouth and kill them. You won't have to worry about anything like that. Of the fruit of your body, the fruit of your livestock, and the fruit of your land, and the land good swore to your ancestors to give. Good will open for you his good treasure, the sky, to give your land its rain at the right season and to bless everything you undertake. You will lend to many nations and not borrow. So imagine not having to borrow money. You always have plentiful of money. Good will make you the head and not the tail, and you will be only above, never below. So imagine always being above your companions. If you will listen to, observe, and obey the mitzvah of good your God, and not turn away from any of the words I am ordering you today, neither to the right nor to the left, to follow after other gods and serve them, or demons and serve the demons, and not straying from serving good left or right. But if you refuse to pay attention to what good your God says, and do not observe and obey all his mitzvah and regulations, which I am giving you today, then all the following courses will be yours in abundance. A curse on you in the city, and a curse on you in the countryside. A curse on your grain basket and netting bowl. A curse on the fruit of your body, the fruit of your land, and the young of your cattle and flocks. So your pets would be cursed by not serving goods, rules, and regulations, by doing elsewise, sinning. A curse on you when you come in, and a curse on you when you go out. Good will send on you curses, disaster, and frustration in everything you set out to do, until you are destroyed and quickly perish because of your evil actions in abandoning me. Good will bring on you a plague that will stay with you until he has exterminated you from the land you are entering in order to take possession of it. Good will strike you down with wasting disease, fever, and inflammation, fury, heat, drought, blasting winds, and mildew, and they will pursue you until you perish. The sky over your head will be brass, and the earth under you iron. Good will turn the rain your land needs into powder, and dust that will fall on you from the sky until you are destroyed. Good, your God, will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. So we see here of the plagues of Mother Nature even being described in the scriptures is coming down upon you. So we understand why we have these plagues and droughts today, because of the disobedience of the people to good. They serve demons or these other gods or these other so-called religions. Okay, it goes to say, you will advance on them one way and flee before them seven. You will become an object of horror to every kingdom on earth. Your carcasses will become food for all the birds in the air and the wild animals, and there will be no one to scare them away. Good will strike you down with the boils that broke out on the Egyptians, tumors, skin lesions, and itching, all incurable. Good will strike you with insanity, blindness, and other confusion. You will grope about at noon like a blind person groping in the dark, unable to find your way. You will be continually oppressed and robbed, and there will be no one to save you. You will get engaged to a woman, but another man will marry her. You will build a house, but not live in it. You will plant a vineyard, but not use its fruit. Your ox will be slaughtered before your eyes, but you won't eat any of its meat. Your donkey will be taken away from you by force as you watch, and you won't get it back. Your sheep will be given to your enemies, and there will be no one to help you. Your sons and daughters will be handed over to another people. You will watch for them longingly all day, but not see them, and there will be nothing you can do about it. A nation unknown to you will eat the fruit of your land and labor. So we see why so many of these countries taken over are going through famine and their people starving, but yet the people who rule them, the people who rule over the country, are not in famine or hunger. Yes, you will continually oppress and crush. Yes, you will be continually oppressed and crushed till you go crazy from what your eyes have to see. Good will strike you down in the knees and legs with painful and curable boils. They will spread from the sole of your foot to the crown of your head. Good will bring you and your king, whom you have put over yourselves, to a nation you have not known. Neither you nor your ancestors, and they are you will serve other gods made of wood and stone. You will be so devastated as to become a proverb and a laughingstock among all the peoples to which good will drive you. You will carry much seed out to the field, but gather little in, because locusts will devour it. You will plant vineyards and dress them, but neither drink the wine nor gather the grapes, because worms will eat them. You will have olive trees throughout your territory, but not anoint yourself with the oil, because your olives will fall off unripe. You will father sons and daughters, but they won't belong to you, because they will go into captivity. The bugs will inherit all your trees and the produce of your land. So we see here some of the plagues good is telling us about if we do not obey his mitzvahs, rules, and regulations, if we are a sinner. And we don't want to be a sinner, because to sin means just to do wrong. It's the complete opposite of right. It means we just utterly craved wrongdoings, and we craved to be left alone during these wrongdoings, some of us. All right, that is it for my reading for today, and now I'll be leaving you. I'm going to say a prayer and be out of here. Good, I petition you that you give us more insight on your word and give us more understanding on the scriptures. Enable us to be able to let you through to speak for us. Heal us of our wounds that you have touched us with because of our disobedience to you, and now we can come back to serve you, or first time come to serve you and obey your rules, mitzvahs, and regulations. I pray that you open our eyes and protect us from Satan and his demons, and give us a wise counsel and guidance that you always do. I pray this in the name of Yeshua. Amen.